This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be about the criminal justice system during the crisis. I am joined by senior barrister and judge Gillian Jones QC from Red Lion Chambers in London. Gillian is joint head of her chambers and is described as being a brilliant practitioner who is fabulous and absolutely faultless, and also having an incisive legal mind which enables her to cut rapidly to the crux of the issues in the most complex cases. Most of Gillian's cases are well known with a global reach. Thank you ever so much for making the time to join me today, Gillian.
Morning, Hattie. Good to join you.
Yes, absolutely, through our remote recording once again. So the criminal justice system during the crisis. Now, I mean, lots and lots of changes, obviously, as a result of the pandemic. But let's talk about that, Gillian. So are the criminal courts still operating? What are they doing at the moment? Let's talk about that.
Well, so in March, obviously, ongoing trials had to be stopped with a handful of the adjourned cases that were still going on, stopped partway through because of the COVID pandemic. Even only key workers, a small number of magistrates' courts did remain open for face-to-face hearings in urgent overnight bail cases. But many hearings were simply adjourned just to a date to be confirmed. In the last month or so, a few Crown courts have now started to reopen. Adjourned trials have restarted and some new trials have started as well. But it's a very small fraction of what was the previous volume of cases. In the Magistrates Court, much more work is being done. Obviously, trials are starting to take place there because, of course, they don't need juries.
Yes, I was just going to say, there's no juries in a Magistrate Court. So it's sort of the three magistrates, I would imagine, with their 2 metre rule, all sitting, you know, spaced out. Everybody has got enough room in the courtroom.
That's right, because there's simply just not as many people that are needed to be in the courtroom at any one time. Obviously, in the Crown Courts, the real difficulty is compliance with the government guidance on social distancing. And there's no doubt that the crisis is going to have a very long-term impact on the criminal justice system, and particularly because, of course, we've got that expanding pipeline of cases that are waiting to be heard.
Yes, no, indeed. I mean, what sort of cases are being dealt with at the moment? And are there on any remote hearings, you know, like video link or telephone? What are they doing remotely? Is anything being done remotely?
Well, the Coronavirus Act 2020 made amendments to allow for some hearings other than jury trials to take place remotely via, for example, Skype for Business, or just introduced is what's called the Common Video Platform, a secure platform across the criminal justice system to allow you to connect securely to our existing justice video network. So that's linking police stations, prisons,
internet. Goodness gracious me.
And that can be accessed by any internet-enabled device with a camera and a microphone. And all pretrial hearings can be heard remotely, as well as things like sentencing hearings, confiscation hearings. Again, all of that can be dealt with remotely. So it very much depends on the type of the hearing, and the judge then makes a direction as the most suitable type of link. So whether it's going to be a video link or an audio link. And yes. My personal experience has virtually been entirely by video link. So pretty much like we are now on Zoom, but yes, just a different platform. And all the parties connect, so the advocates, the defendant, the solicitors, judge, the court clerk, press, and the public. The only participants in the proceedings put the video on. Audio is on for everybody. And then all the other parties remain muted but can listen and watch. So you still retain open justice. Then the proceedings are held. So whilst technology is improving, we're all adapting. And and as you can imagine, some hearings adapt more easily to remote hearings, others less so and are more difficult. And of course, as I've said, jury trials can't be heard remotely.
So how are trials being conducted in the courtroom, Gillian? I mean, you know, so if everybody does have to turn up and jury trials, when did they start again? How are they, you know, is it working?
Well, I'm in week 5 of a trial. So a small number of trials are now taking place, but it's, as I've said, a fraction of the normal caseload. So court centres have been deep cleaned and they've been adapted to comply with government guidance on social distancing. But as you can imagine, many of our court estates are very old buildings with small rooms, fixed furniture, and makes it very difficult to adapt them. Cell areas are often connected by narrow corridors with small rooms that aren't suitable for face-to-face conferences. So everybody's having to think outside the box. It means, in essence, that the capacity of any court centre is hugely reduced, if in fact it can be used at all. So where courts have been able to reopen, which remains only a small number, it's a little bit like arriving at the supermarket. We've probably all had experience now trying to go and do the shopping where you queue outside with your signage on the ground, putting you at two metres apart. So you queue to go in. As you go in, you use a hand sanitizer. The court staff are all wearing PPE. You go through security one at a time and you take all the items out of your bag, which may set off the security arches that you go through when you first enter a court building. And a bit like, again, at the supermarket, after you've used your tray, they wipe it all down and sanitize it. And then the floors are all marked out with the stickers, the circular stickers that we're probably all familiar with in the supermarket, to ensure that you stay at 2 meter intervals. One-way systems up staircases, only one person at a time in a lift if you need to use the lift. And there's lots of signage all around the court centre reminding court users to keep at a safe distance. So you've got posters on the walls and on the doors. And you've also got marshals there to assist court users and just make sure compliance. Where we as barristers robe, those rooms have all been cleared and set out so it's 2 metres apart so we can go and put our robes on to go get ready to go into court. You've all the toilet facilities have hand sanitizers and lots more regular cleaning. So you see lots of cleaning staff in the court centre. But if you're a juror, jury selection is conducted in the court centre I'm at on the concourse. So they've marked part of the concourse. Spread out chairs.
Outside, literally outside. And we're lucky the weather is, you know.
Not outside the building, on the concourse in the building.
Oh my goodness.
You're sat on chairs and they select the jury in waiting from that who then file into court separated by 2 metres. Then once you're in your courtroom, in fact, each trial is conducted over 3 different courtrooms.
So I was going to say earlier, I mean, you know, it's all, you know, there's a lot less trials going ahead and you've got the empty courtrooms and it's, we have been reading that some trials have been having the jury in one room, you know, the judge with the defendant in another room, and then in another room you've got some legal representatives and things like that. Is that sort of what's going on?
It's not quite like that. The way it works is courtroom one, depending on the layout of the court, the seating arrangements have been adapted to allow for social distancing.
Are we talking about the Old Bailey now?
Same in all court centres. This is the way it works. Is obviously all are slightly different on layout, but using the courtroom I'm in as an example, the jurors are sat spaced out in the rows which are usually used by counsel. So they're seated 2 metres apart from each other, but positioned so they can still see the witness box and still see the defendants. They file in and out of court, maintaining their social distancing. And when they're not in court, they have their own courtroom. That's the courtroom number 2, in which they use that both as a waiting room and eventually as their retiring room. Again, they've got an allocated seat and the room's large enough for them to maintain social distancing. But if we go back into courtroom 1, counsel are spread out in the jury box. So we're in the jury box.
Right.
And we're in our allocated seating. And you've got wipes to wipe down your work area. The court is cleaned regularly. You've got hand sanitizer. If you want to wear PPE, you can, when obviously when you're not addressing the court. You bring your own water bottle to court, as do all users, because there's no canteen or water facilities at any court centre. And then the case I'm doing is an iPad trial. So each juror has their own iPad, which has all the relevant papers loaded onto it. And then the technical support wear gloves and masks, and they can wipe down and assist.
I mean, it just sounds so surreal, Gillian. I mean, you know, you're sitting there explaining this, and I'm thinking, honestly, it's like we're living on another planet at the moment. I mean, it just sounds so surreal.
You get used to it very quickly. I mean, the public gallery is open and it's spaced out so members of the public could observe the proceedings if they wanted to. And then we've got a third courtroom, which is press. They can sit in there and other interested parties linked to the main courtroom. And we sit shorter days so that people can travel in out of rush hour. We also have more regular breaks, so the courtroom can be ventilated, so the doors are...
Oh, goodness, no wonder that only a fraction of trials are actually able to go ahead, because you look at what needs to be put in place and how much space needs to be used for one trial, and you just think, well, hold on, because normally courtroom one, two and three would have three trials going on. We're now saying, actually, three courtrooms, one trial, you know.
And that trial is longer. Of course, you have the greater breaks, the shorter sitting hours, and also there's other adaptations as well. So, for example, like special measures, which are where you might have a screen in a courtroom. Because of the seating arrangements, now what you have to do is use a video link facility for that type of thing. If it's a paper case and you've got jury bundles, every juror has to have their own jury bundle, so no sharing. Like you would have had.
Yes. Well, I think one thing is very clear. It's incredibly, you know, safety procedures are there to the maximum, to the hill. You know, you're talking about cleaners being there constantly. You're talking about the PPE that staff have to wear. You're talking about everything constantly being wiped down. You people being able to wipe down their own stations. Because I know there was questions about jurists feeling like, oh God, should I be going to court? Should I be, you know, practicing as a, taking part as a juror? And I think it's safe to say that everything is being done to the best it can by the court system, isn't it? I mean, absolutely. You know, I cannot imagine what it's like to say, right, we now need 12 bundles for the jurors, plus the judge, plus everybody else. Whereas before, you know, that level of just paperwork wasn't really necessary. And also, even with the iPad trial that you're mentioning, you know, the expense that has to be gone to make sure every juror has their own, and that's how it's going to work, to keep everybody safe, to maximise the facilities and to be able to carry on. I mean, if somebody's concerned about going to court because of, you know, the pandemic and because of COVID, what should they do if they are due to attend a trial in whatever capacity? What should they do? What can they do?
Well, to start with, from what I've just explained, they can be assured that risk assessments have been carried out and the court buildings are as safe as they can be and are being run safely, observing the government guidance. But if, for example, you're a juror, you'll have been sent information now with your juror summons. And when you arrive at court, you'll be given information. And of course, you can ask any member of staff. They're incredibly helpful. And everybody's there to answer any questions any individual may have. I imagine as well in your juror summons, you'd have a number provided which you could ring if you've got concerns. As a defendant, of course, you have the ability to speak to your solicitor to help explain the process to you and how it's going to work. As a witness, the police and witness support will be there to answer questions. And obviously, as advocates, we've all been sharing our experiences because it's all very new. And there's still only a handful of trials that are taking place across England and Wales. And so we're pooling our experience to try and make sure we can reassure our colleagues as well as to what to expect if they're brought to conduct a trial. But a big thing is, of course, no canteen facilities. Anything you want to drink.
Bring a packed lunch. I think that is a clear message now of this podcast. You must bring your own packed lunch. No, I mean, that's all very, very helpful. I mean, but, you know, the reality is here. There's a backlog. There's obviously... do we even have any indication what does the backlog look like for criminal trials because of the pandemic? You know, is there any idea about that?
It's huge. I mean, the numbers that are being published at the moment are in excess of 40,000. 40,000 cases.
40,000 cases on a backlog in the UK criminal justice system because of the pandemic.
England and Wales, not just because of the pandemic, because before the pandemic, some criminal cases were being listed more than a year ahead because of the austerity cuts in the number of allocated judges. So add to that jury trials being suspended, and you can imagine that backlog has grown and grown. And there needs to be a massive and dramatic pickup in pace. If all the vulnerable individuals involved in the criminal justice system are going to get their day in court, this is a backlog like none of us have ever seen before. And you don't have to be a mathematician to work out that even if all courts were open, the need to comply with social distancing measures requires three courtrooms for one trial. The number of trials, therefore, that can actually be heard in any court centre are very small.
One third at best.
And they're slower, and that won't make much of a dent in that backlog. So we
Gillian, what about the use of alternative buildings for trials? I know there's been talk about that. There's been sort of mention of that in the news and things like that. Is that ever going to be an option, do you think?
Our view as the profession is it's urgent. We have an urgent need for alternative court centres in which trials can be heard. Many cases don't need the level of security provided for in the normal court centre. So there's a huge amount of bail cases, non-custody cases, which could come out of the court estate and be dealt with in different court centres. We've got a huge amount of buildings currently lying empty.
Oh, God, when you know, that can't be the case. That just, that has to stop. Because this is just, you've got to look and think, right, we've got 40,000 backlog of cases across England and Wales. Okay, we're not saying all of that is relative to the pandemic, but that's going to keep piling up, isn't it? That's just going to keep piling up. You've got alternative buildings, you're saying, that are currently empty.
Absolutely. So, for example, look at the Nightingale hospitals, how quickly they were put up.
Yes, goodness gracious. That was like, when we were watching that on television, you just thought, is that real? Is that space? I mean, you know, the Excel Centre, you saw that, for example, with all the beds and the equipment and the rows, and you thought, how did, on earth did they get that done? So something needs, the government needs to really start looking at this quickly, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you've got empty lecture theatres, conference centres, all of which could be adapted to hear non-custody trials. Question is, why aren't we co-opting those buildings now and using them? It's trite, isn't it? But justice delayed is justice denied. Action's needed. And we need to get into these alternative court centres so we can start to pick up the volume of cases being heard. Yes. And start to try and make a dent in that backlog.
Yes, absolutely, and slow down the backlog, because it might be 40,000 now, but even if you started full pelt, as you said, and everything opened up, and there was the ability to have three trials instead of one in each court building, that backlog is still going to continue. So it's a bit of a chicken and egg to catch up with it. But no, I'm sure the government is going to be looking at this very, very closely as a priority. And I mean, as a last question, because I do want to cover this, I think this is important. Gillian, what's been the impact on barristers and solicitors, you know, as a result of this?
Well, since the March, in effect, barristers and solicitors who rely on court work have seen their income just simply stop overnight. It's literally like the tap being turned off. I mean, people have seen this in all sort of different areas of work as well. But government schemes offer limited or no assistance for barristers because they're self-employed. And barristers' chambers often hold little by way of cash reserves. Rents and rates, even if deferred for a quarter, still have to be paid. And whilst there's still no real certainty as to when this volume of cases is going to pick up and increase, there's a very real risk that many solicitors' firms will close, barristers will become bankrupt, and chambers will fold. And huge steps, as you know from the work you've done, have been made to diversify the profession over the last decade.
And many aspects,
if you don't have those personal cash reserves or people they can call on to help them, and as a result, they may be forced out of practice.
I have to say, I do think that the bar is a profession like no other that's suffering at the moment, because most professions have been able to get financial assistance from the government, whereas the bar haven't been able to do that, even though the Bar Council has been offering some form of financial assistance, I think, you know, to some degree. But
there's benevolent funds, you know, there's hardship funds, but they're very limited. And it's not really dealing with the overarching problem that reaches so many people who, without going to court, simply don't get paid or get paid very little. So they need the trials back, really, to have an income. And until we get that volume back, and there's a real problem about that income increasing again, or even starting in some people's cases. So, yes, it's a huge impact, devastating, and that's why we need the government to act and fast.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, but that's all we have time for today, Gillian. I cannot thank you enough for this really informative podcast and for giving up your time, because I know you're running off to court now. I know you're busy. So thank you ever so much. Thank you for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you.
And I will say to our subscribers, don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you very much for listening.
Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Our episodes are free to access. However, if you feel that you would like to support the children's charity that we are raising money for, then head over to our Just Giving page at justgiving.com and search for Hattie Savari, where we are raising money for orphaned children at SOS Children's Villages, one of the worthiest children's charities. Donate as little as £1 for a great cause. Thank you.